Wow. Okay. Thank you, Dan. My gosh, Dan. Thank you so much. I can't say enough about, how much I love you, Dan. And you're a good man, Dan. We're lucky to have you in this program. You're a wonderful servant. So yeah, I definitely want to start off just to let you all know who I am. I'm Mary R. I'm a compulsive gambler, and my last bet was February 17th of 2015. And I'm absolutely delighted to be here today. I'm absolutely delighted. I want to share what I think is probably the greatest paradox in recovery with all of you today. And that is how did becoming powerless actually make me a supercharged member of this program? Someone for whom personal power over my own actions and reactions, has helped me to become happy, joyous, and free. How did this happen? What is the paradox between being powerless to become supercharged, to becoming energetic and active? How does that happen? So for me, it all started in a casino. Okay, so my journey unfortunately begins in a casino, and that's where I would experience everything that eventually led me to the discovery of my powerlessness over this addiction and my powerlessness, excuse me, over people and over outcomes. And I'm going to talk a little bit about all that today, because for me, the powerlessness over addiction is just the beginning of my powerlessness. I realize today that I am powerless over my addiction, over other people, and over outcomes. And I'm going to talk about that as I move through. So when I was in the casino, I was on a never-ending video poker binge that went on for many, many years in my life. If you listen to the other talk that's out there, you get a sense. There's a lot, I'm going to give a lot more detail in that first talk about my gambling career. But suffice it to say that I came in 1995. I got 9 years under my belt. Then I went back out. And when I went back out, I didn't come back until 2015. So I am one of those folks who is so blessed to be able to make it back to the rooms. And it's one of the things I never take for granted, that I don't know if I have another recovery in me. I definitely have another bet in me, which I must never exercise, but I don't know if I have another recovery in me. I hold tight to this program today through the grace of God. I like birthdays. I like celebrations. I like to get more time. The more, the better. So, as I said, my drug of choice was video poker, and I was a casino gambler. And it was in the casino that all my lights turned on. It was in the casino. And I can still remember very vividly the smell of the casino, that old stale smoke smell. And the smell as you walked in the morning when it had just opened and there were very few people on the floor, that was my time. And I wanted to gamble long before it was ever going to be legal for me to gamble. We drove through Vegas many times, and I would always see those lights, and I would say to myself, boy, one day I'm going to be in there. I knew at a very early age, I believe I was born a compulsive gambler, and I know I will die a compulsive gambler. This I believe, and this I know. And my gambling was very much what I call the hamster wheel of shame and guilt. And it's what I want to just say about my gambling. I carried a lot of dysfunction as a child in my life and a lot of trauma. I also have a lot of shame and guilt, and growing up in a very dysfunctional family. And what happened to me was I couldn't deal with my emotions. I couldn't deal with my feelings. So I had to run away. I had to escape. I had to find a very maladaptive way to deal with what was inside of me. And that became casino gambling for me. And the reason I say hamster wheel is I felt shitty about myself before I ever set foot in a casino. But then when I went to a casino, I would have all those consequences of compulsive gambling, and then I would feel worse about myself. And that all that shame and all that guilt would happen. And that's the hamster wheel, because when I start feeling the shame and guilt again, what happens? I need to go back out and gamble again. And it just goes on and on and on and on. and I can't get off the wheel because I'm so burdened by shame and guilt. And like most addicts, I did not know the difference between pleasure and pain. And I know this today of myself. For all those years I was out there gambling, I was in severe pain. I was incapable of dealing with my emotions, and I was adding misery every single day to my life. And I couldn't even understand that I was in agony. I didn't even understand that. I didn't even know what my feelings were. Today, I recognize that Mary R. has trouble looking at the difference between pleasure and pain. Mary R. can be self-destructive. Mary R. likes to blow things up. And so I watch very carefully things that enslave me. And gambling enslaved me. I couldn't stop. I could never win because I couldn't stop. If I won, and I've shared this many times, if I won, it was just more time I had to spend in the casino losing the money. So when I won that royal flush, forgive me for mentioning it, but when I won that, I got the hand pay and they'd come over and I'd sign the form and they'd pay all that awful. And then I'd say, well, let's see, who am I going to lie to? How am I going to lie to work, lie to my family? What am I going to do? Because I've got to stay here now and play all this money. I could not leave the casino without playing at all. So I could never win. I had plenty of wins, as I'm sure many of you on this call have had, but I couldn't keep any of it. And you know what? I got to the point where I was in a pay-to-play state, where I was so powerless over this illness that I literally paid to play. I just needed to be there and be free of the emotional pain of my existence. Sadly, what did this do? It created more emotional pain. So I also thought I was a pretty big deal when I gambled. I liked the attention. I liked having a host that took care of me when I was at my poker machine. I didn't eat much. As I've shared many times, I lived on maraschino cherries and oranges because I couldn't bother to be eating. I couldn't bother to go up and use the restroom. But I thought I was a pretty big deal. And I thought, you know, I thought, hey, I've got this figured out. I'm just going to be me and my machine here, me and my poker machine for the rest of my life. That's the only relationship I really want and need. And I was a big deal until I wasn't, until I wasn't. So I always say I got paid. Gambling paid me. Oh, yeah, it paid me. Pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. That's how I got paid through gambling. PAID. Pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, right out of our literature. So I like to think of my gambling battery, whatever source I was using to gamble, it died. It was dead. I was powerless. And I love that phrase, stop beating a dead horse. I kept trying to beat this dead horse. I kept trying to get up and go back. How can I lie, steal, cheat? Where else can I find more resources? Who else can I devastate by my lying and my actions? So I would continue to go back and back. And I was dead inside. Then, after so much devastation in my life, I finally, through the grace of this program, through a lot of different things coming together, I got to really understand that I am not powerful over gambling. I will never be powerful over this disease. I don't know gambling systems, winning, all the different things. I read every book. I tried, you know, I know you guys are like me on this call. I know you've tried everything to be a successful gambler. We're smart people. People in GA are some of the brightest people I've ever known in my life and some of the most successful people. And we're not stupid. If there were a way to gamble successfully, as compulsive gamblers, we would have found it. I would have found it. I know I would have. But I couldn't quit. So if you can't quit, you can't win. So that doesn't matter what system you're using, doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter anything if you can't quit. I couldn't quit. And I realized I wasn't powerful. And this word power, see, this is so important. What does power mean? If you go back to the roots of the word, it means to be able. I wasn't able to quit. I didn't have the power. I didn't have the power to manage this illness. I didn't have that power. I didn't have the capacity to act around this illness. So I used those 20 questions to remind me of my powerlessness. And to remind me, I when I sponsor others, I ask them, please write down your answers to the 20 questions. Let's put a biography together of all the consequences of gambling. Let me put together my story, right? What happened? This is my history. This is what I used to be like. This is the consequences of what happens to me when I place a bet. The 20 questions give you that information. They will scare you. Doing the 20 questions is great because it will scare you. It scared me. I have to speak for myself. It scared me. When I really wrote those answers down, I thought, geez, I really do need a program. I need help. I'm in dire shape here. And it scared me. But it's not enough to keep me in recovery. See, the 20 questions alone and my consequences are not enough to keep me in recovery. And that's one of the things I really want to stress today is it's the steps. It's the steps. See, we start with being frightened and scared into our seats. We get our seat, we're scared into it. But then what we get to do is we get to earn that seat by working those steps. And so I talk about in step one, I acknowledged and accepted my powerlessness. Then the all-powerful God of my understanding is able to remove the compulsion. So by being able to accept and admit that my life becomes completely unmanageable, to be able to get on my knees and say, God, help me. I can't do this. I just can't win over this illness. I'm powerless. In that act, in that powerlessness, God is able to come through. My higher power, whom I choose to call God, is able to come through and remove from me the compulsion to place the bet, the obsession, the compulsion is lifted. That was my first major miracle in recovery, one of many, many miracles. And I began to heal. And you know what? When I understand the steps and I understand the 20 questions, I never have to gamble again. And I would say to everybody on this call today, one of the reasons I like to present and I like to be part of a share for you today, I like to share with you my experience, strength, and hope, is that I truly believe that you never have to gamble again either. No matter, I don't care if you have one day or 100 years. And that's why today we're going to talk about solutions. I'm going to talk about solutions, right? I came back to life. As I said, my gambling battery was dead, never to be re-energized again. It was beating a dead horse for years. There was nothing left. I got to come back to life. I am new and alive in recovery. I am reborn. I am newly born in recovery. And for me, to gamble is to die. We talk about prison insanity or death. I truly believe for me, to gamble is to die. And I want to be in the new life. So, what's the new life? So, we know I'm powerless and my higher power is all powerful. Do you ever wonder why the word power isn't mentioned in the Serenity Prayer? It's so interesting because it's all about power. Do you know when we start the Serenity Prayer, the first thing we do is say, God, God. We start the prayer by acknowledging the higher power in our lives, whoever you choose to call your higher power. And, you know, that salute, that the attention, the God, here I am, God, here I am, right? I admit powerlessness. Powerlessness in the next line over all the things I cannot change. Then I get to see where I might have some limited power. See, in that first line, I'm going to say I can't change. This is where I'm powerless. But then I get courage to change the things I can. And this is what I refer to as personal power. And this is where I believe the power is in my actions and reactions. See, that's all I can control today, guys. I don't control people. I don't control outcomes. I certainly don't control this illness. But I can control my actions and reactions. I have a say in how I behave today. I don't need to lie, steal, or cheat today. I can be fair. I can be open. I can be honest. I can be willing. I can do all those things today through the grace of God. So I wanted to say that we get to the line, courage to change the things I can, that personal power. As I said, I get to make better decisions and choices today. And I get to be supercharged in my personal power through his power, through the power of the higher power. I get to be supercharged in recovery today. I get to give what I've been so beautifully and generously given in this program. I have life today. I say, I plug in all day, every day to keep my battery from getting low. I am alive today. I have life today. I have a new and different life. I have no power to control my disease, other people, or outcomes. As it says in the big book, I can try to arrange the actors on the stage, but you know what? Someone else has written the play, guys. Someone else has written the show. I don't write it. I can try all I want to try to make it go my way, but the truth is, someone else is responsible for that. It's a lot about introspection and self-awareness today. I ask myself, what is outside of my control? What is outside of my sphere of influence? Am I choosing my battles wisely today? Am I not going after every single thing that offends me? What a waste of time. Do I have humility today? Do I have humility? Am I human? Am I willing to acknowledge that there's something greater than myself? I don't always have to be right today. I don't always have to be right today. All of these things I've learned through working the steps. To be supercharged in recovery, one must be powerless first. I must be powerless to get to where I have gotten in recovery, to where I am supercharged. I say, get on your knees in order to understand where there is true power. There is a solution, right? And, you know, I think about death to find life, right? Powerlessness to find power. It's just a better way of thinking and living. And that's what we're promised in recovery. If you go to the promises, which I know many of you know, certainly many of you in the step study know those promises, as we review them all the time, you know that we are promised things beyond our wildest dreams. We are promised that situations that used to baffle us will baffle us no more. Well, how is that? How does that happen? Again, we get to monitor our own actions and reactions, and we get supercharged by the higher power. So we talk about there's a much more powerful force. Thank you, Dan. There's a much more powerful force in the universe. And the one thing I know for sure is it ain't me. Okay, that's what I've learned. There's a more powerful source, a much more powerful source. What humility, if you go back to the root of the word humility, it means on the ground, on the earth, humility. Humility means I'm down here, higher power, you're up here, right? This is what I call the lower power. There's still some power there, but it's the lower power. The higher power is the higher power. So we find our personal power. I find my personal power by aligning with the higher power that becomes supercharged. And I have this, I just generated this in an absolute state. I want you to know he's the great outlet. The charging station, the power plant, the grand battery, your brick, your generator. Okay, all the energy of the universe, creator of heaven and earth. And I got to that spot where I could understand all that and feel all that. More importantly, feel that, right? I got to that through working the steps. The first three steps net out to, well, first of all, we talk about we're powerless over gambling. Two, there's someone who can restore us to sanity. Three, you know, I'm going to turn my life and will over. What does that all net out to? I can't, he can. I think I'll let him. I can't, he can. I think I'll let him. That's the net of those first three steps. My higher power for me is all knowing, all loving, all powerful. I have shared that with many of you. So when I wrote the job description, which is part of sponsoring that job, you know, asking your sponsee, well, tell me what you want your higher power to be. For me, I wanted my higher power to be all knowing, all loving, and all powerful. Why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I want that? The big book tells me that I will have a new employer, right? A new employer. This was important to me because I've always defined myself by my work. I've always defined myself by other people appreciating me. Well, the big book tells me, forget the employer you have now. You're going to have a new employer, and it's the higher power. Someone else is driving my bus today. So what do? I stop trying to control other people and outcomes, and I get in the action business. I ask God today, please let me take the next right indicated action. This is what I mean. I do the actions, God creates the outcomes. So I don't have to be obsessed anymore with trying to have things go my way. I wouldn't even want to know, you know, what my mind has done in the past to try to control people and situations. And the reality is, I couldn't have a clue of the wonderful things God has in store for me if I try to conjure that in my own brain. I don't even know what to ask for, guys. I don't even know what I want. I don't even know what outcomes I should demand of God because God wants to do so much for me today. And I need to get out of my own way, get out of my own way and let God do that. So for me, I ask God, please help me take the next right indicated action. And then I turn it over and get out of my way in my own way. And then I wait for the miracle and I get the miracle. It may not look like a miracle at this present moment, but I get the miracle. I get to understand God's will for me today through working the steps. God is doing for me, and I'm quoting right out of program what I cannot do for myself. And let me be real clear, we don't become God, but we have a union with God. There's one universal spirit in that, no matter how you define your higher power, and that's up to you. That's up to you. This is not a religious program. It's a spiritual, it's a very spiritual program. We say that all the time, but the reality is it's so true. If the more you stay in recovery and the longer you're here, you can't help but getting a taste of it. And once you get a taste of it, you want more. You want more of it. So when I talk about union with God, I talk into tapping into the universal spirit. I can't, he can, I think I'll let him. Those first three steps are the foundational steps. If you're going to build a recovery house, you've got to build them on the first three steps. That's your solid ground. You don't want to build it. I could not build a house that was going to last the test of time for my life in recovery without making those first three steps the foundation of my entire recovery. And if it takes a year to get there, it doesn't matter. We're not in any hurry. There's no competition. So we say the slogan, let go and let God. God has a better plan. I'm in that action business today, guys. I'm powerful only over my actions and attitudes. So how do I do that? I get to a meeting. I use my tools. I work the steps. I stay loving and kind. I can only do what I can do, but I have a tremendous slate of tools available to me in recovery, and you all know what they are. And then I have the 12 steps. And in those 12 steps, see, I make that connection with the higher power. When we talk about why do we come together, the step study group, of which several are on here today, thank you guys, I'm so glad you're here. We talk about wanting to have a closer relationship with the higher power. We want to fill a spiritual bank, right? We want to fill a spiritual bank. That's what I mean by recharging the battery. That's what I mean by being supercharged. You get that bank full, and you're not going anywhere outside of recovery, and you're not going anywhere. So in step 12, we bear witness to the fact that he has become our new employer and that we are working for him. So we become these mini outlets that we're tied back directly to the source of all power. And we get to be the higher power's ambassadors. We get to be the higher power's ambassadors. And this is the divine purpose, okay? I just want to share for those of you who may say, what is my purpose? Well, for me, I can only speak for myself. I believe my divine purpose is to be an ambassador for my higher power today and to be a member of this fellowship and to give and receive, right? To carry the message. Let my mess turn into a way to carry a message to others of hope and inspiration. So I think bottom line there is that we want to live in love, not fear, but in love. And living in love requires those steps and requires us to be willing to turn our life and will over and understand that there's someone greater, something greater, a power greater than I am. And he cares for me and he wants my life to be the best life it can be. And I need to get out of my own way and I need to let him do what he's going to do. Through him, all things are possible. I say, thy will be done. And we talk, that's the name of our step study group. Thanks to Dan H for making that happen for me. Thy will be done, right? So how do I say not my will anymore. That's part of humility. My will was to sit at a poker machine for the rest of my life, guys. That was my will. Literally, I dreamed of in my retirement being able to stay at the casinos, like for extended periods of time in their hotels, eat there. I thought, boy, I never even have to come home. Okay, I don't know what I was thinking was going to happen to my family, but I didn't care. I didn't care at all. So we say, I'll take the action. You call the shots. I'll take the action, God. I'll take an action today. My next right indicated action. You help me with that, God, and you can call all the shots. I'm a partner today with the higher power. I have got the most powerful partner, advocate, friend, guide that has ever been known in the universe. Through him, all things are possible. That's what I mean by miracles. I suit up and I show up, I pray and I meditate, and I make conscious contact, praying only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power, there's that word, guys, and the power to carry that out. Right out of those beautiful steps, right? Praying only for the knowledge of his will for Mary R. and the power, my personal power to carry that out. And in step 12, I gladly pay that power bill. I pass it on. That's how I pay my power bill. I pay it forward. I become a little outlet, a little light. I become a little bit of a light, a little extension of the great source, the source that is behind me and lights my way every step of the way. And that's what it nets out to. So I can say, who grants serenity? God. Who gives me acceptance? God. Who helps me change the things I can change? God. Who lets me know if my action or his action or both are needed? I say God today. So with that, I'm going to wrap. I want to thank you, Dan, from the bottom of my heart for having me today. And I hope you heard something today that'll be part of your journey and aid you in your continuing journey in recovery. Thank you.
Wow. Well, I have to say, you didn't disappoint, Mary. I'm so happy, and this is even better than the first one. And I really appreciate you sharing with us this amazing, amazing experience, strength, and hope, and how to go from powerless to supercharged. And look at all those hearts coming on the screen. So we're not quite done yet. We have a little bit longer, and it's going to stay recording and stay going. We have comments and questions. So if anybody has any comments or would like to have a question, this would be a great opportunity to ask it of Mary. And if you don't want your voice recorded, please just send it to me in the chat and I'll be able to say it for you. And I already have one in there, Mary. So we'll get to it after Jordan first and then Luca. So Jordan, please, you're up first.
Good morning or good afternoon, everybody. I guess what I would want to ask Mary is, coming from somebody who is in and out of recovery and wants to obviously stay in recovery, we know meetings are important and we know that access to money. You need to be held accountable for that. What are some other suggestions that you have for us struggling to stay clean from gambling? And one thing I do want to mention is I don't have a mentor. I don't have, I'm in that phase of my family, doesn't want to get too much into my business, and at the same time, like I do want to share and talk, but I kind of want to not separate my family from being involved, but I am looking for a mentor, somebody who has no understands the struggle. So if anybody is willing, I would appreciate that.
Terrific, Jordan. Thank you for your questions. And let me suggest that in the chat, any men on this program today who are in this meeting who feel that they could give, Jordan some support, whether that's just some phone calls or any kind of, mentorship or temporary sponsor or anything of that nature, please go in the chat. Let's make that happen for Jordan today. Jordan, in the first in the first 90 days, okay, the most important thing is to stop the bleeding, put down the shovel. And the first thing I would say is get a sponsor. So we're talking about that right now, and I see people putting information right now into the chat for you. So thank you all. God bless you all. So that's the first thing I would say. And then you're going to get right to those 20 questions, Jordan. You're going to get right to those 20 questions. You think they're just a simple 20 questions. They're like Shakespeare, okay? They're the GA equivalent of Shakespeare. Whoever wrote those, is a miracle maker. Because in those 20 questions, we get to find all the consequences of our gambling, and we get to understand the impact that gambling has on us. As a result, we get to be powerless. And when we're truly powerless, this is the truth, guys. When we're truly powerless, when I, Mary R, am truly powerless, I cannot place a bet. If I know and I believe in this moment that I am truly powerless, I will not place a bet. It's only when I believe that I am powerful again over gambling that I go back out. So if you're in and out and in and out, I want to stress that what's happening is you're moving in and out from feeling powerless to saying some sick, perverse, and crazy notion that you can control it if you're a compulsive gambler. And only you can know that. Only you can know that. But if you're like me and you're a compulsive gambler, it is a nasty thought, an evil thought, right? That I can control my gambling today. That thought is coming from a place, not a good place. It's coming from a very, very dark place. But that's the kind of thought I would have that will get me back out in action. Anyway, Jordan, I hope that helps.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Mary. Nice
Thank
answer.
you. It does help. One more thing, if I can get the 20 questions either in the chat or sent to my phone, I would appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to
I'll be
ask
more
Dan to
than happy
take
to
care of
share.
that. Dan,
I'll put him
you're
in the
the
chat.
expert. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jordan, for that. It's actually very good that we all have those. And thank you both. And we go right to Luca. Luca V, you should be able to unmute, hopefully.
Thank
And
you.
yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful presentation, Mary. Thank you. And thanks everyone for being here. And I come with like something that came up on my mind as I come from terms of from a place of science and psychiatry and psychology. It's a very interesting process I tend to observe in my recovery that I try to really scientifically understand these dopaminergic pathways and how sensible they are, and that you can never ever regain control. And if you have a thought that you can regain control, it's that addictive brain speaking to you, all which stays for the whole life to some extent due to this sensitivity of these pathways. And it's very painful on one end for me to really like I'm powerful when I try to understand these things. And I have to I can understand them consciously why it's like that, but I still have to give this power to my higher power. Because if I carry it, even in these terms that are scientific and can be useful to some extent, perhaps. It's a very painful journey for me because I'm also in such a profession that is very rational or scientific, and it's a very painful journey, but one I probably can learn a lot from. And you did your contribution to it, so thank you.
Oh, Luca, what a beautiful share. And I have so many thoughts about that. We most of us, like I said, in recovery, you're going to meet the most intellectually gifted people. The problem is this is not an intellectual disease, right? It's a spiritual disease first, before everything. It's emotional, it's physical, it's got the whole gamut, right? But it is a spiritual illness. And when we think about that, we recognize that this illness doesn't discriminate, right? And people that succeed in recovery, it doesn't matter how smart you are, right? I mean, we don't, and as it says in our literature, we don't even need to know why we gamble. I myself am a very self-aware individual, and I do read a lot, and I am very interested in the things that you're discussing, Luca. I am. And there's some marvelous articles and things that can really help us to understand, but at the end of the day, understanding, right, avails us nothing. Understanding avails us nothing. What avails us is to get down and do the work and do those 12 steps. And that's where, Luca, it sounds like you might be at the place where, it's time to shore up. If you don't have a big enough God, guys, to take from you your cares, if you don't have a big enough God that you can turn your life and will over to, turn your fears, turn all those things that bother you, and I have many myself, so you're not alone, right? If we don't have a big enough God, then you know what? Get a different God. Get a different higher power. There are many available, right? There are many available, and it's up to you to define that higher power with your sponsor in the way that works for you, in the way that works for you. Anyway, I want to say one more thing. It's back to Jordan's share, but I want to say that it's very important that we share this illness and our situations with our family and friends, right? And, to the extent that we feel safe, to the extent that it doesn't compromise our work life or, the more people that can understand our vulnerability, the better, okay? The more people that can be part of our solution, the better. And there is a program called Gammonon, and I want to remind everybody that Gammonon is there for your spouses, your family members, your parents, your sisters, your brothers, anyone who wants to understand more about our program. But fundamentally, anyone who wants to know more about themselves, right? Because that's a program where those people in Gammonon get to get shored up. They get to be more in focus on what's going on with you, the gambler, but then it becomes about their lives and how they can have the best lives possible. So I really recommend Gammonon, and all the information about Gammonon, Frank was kind enough to involve Gammonon from the beginning on the GIR website, and you can get all the information on Gammonon. Anyway, I just want to say that. Thank you, Luca. I appreciate it.
That was beautiful. Thank you both. And Mr. Tony F is next. Mary, do you know Tony?
I sure do.
Tony, you're up next.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Tony.
I just wanted to say, I get so much peace. I don't know whether it's a question or a comment. I get so much peace out of hearing you talk and explain your journey. I always love when I come into a meeting and I hear the message, not the mess. And you explain things, the serenity in your voice brings me peace. And on your step study, I've heard you say it so many times, that if we, it's a step, if we go back, it's a step one problem that, we thought we were powerful. I was working the steps, before I started, your step study program. And then we started the program. And I was talking to a mentor that I have, and he backed me up because I was telling him about this great amends that I did. And he backed me right up to the first step. Did I believe my life was unmanageable? I admitted I was powerless over gambling, but was my life probably is still in some ways unmanageable. So my question to you then is, we admit we're powerless over gambling. We know in our gambling that our life had become unmanageable. I mean, sort of, it's like, how do you know? I feel like my life is relatively manageable today, that I don't do what I used to do. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I don't do drugs. But I feel that I'm relatively, manageable. But how do you arrive at that point? Is what I guess what I'm driving at, if that's clear as mud.
Sure. You know what, Tony? First of all, I want to say something. The reason I'm not calling you guys out that are on the step study is because it's your business. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to stand here in front of whatever number of people and say, "Hey, thank you for doing the step study." But since you outed yourself, Tony, I want to thank you for being part of the step study. Okay? Because you've been an amazing contributor, and we help each other in there so much. What the thing about the step study is, it's a very vulnerable place to be. And I understand why we don't get 40 people at the step study, because the step study is a place of candor and honesty and vulnerability. And that's what makes it work. That's what makes it work. But I encourage anyone who wants to drop by, you don't ever have to share in the step study. And Dan and Tony can attest to that. We don't make anybody do anything they're uncomfortable with, but it gets really good, right? It gets really good when people are sharing from their experience, strength, and hope. As far as unmanageability, Tony, I think I love your question actually, because we talk about the gam arresting the gambling problem, right? And for the first 90 days of recovery, as I told Jordan, that's all we're going to think. We aren't even going to think beyond that, just putting down the shovel, no more bets, one day at a time, 1 day at 1 hour at a time, through the grace of God, no more bets. After those 90 days, right, we start easing into that step work. We want to do that relatively quickly, right? We want to do it relatively quickly because, as I was explaining to you earlier, the scare factor of the 20 questions will fade. So we've got to have something more than scare tactics to keep us in this program. And what we have to have is a connection with the higher power. When life becomes unmanageable for me today, and I suspect, Tony, it's the same for you. It's not today that you or I are thinking, oh, we're going to place a bet today. But the unmanageability of life comes, I believe, when we still have the wanting to control other people or outcomes. And what I've heard in you and know of you is that you have spread your recovery from this beautiful, not the willingness not to place a bet today. You have let that flow through also to where you have worked very hard on understanding the powerlessness you have over your family members and other people in your life, and also over outcomes. That's what we talk about, the action business. You take an action, Mary. I'm going to take an action. Mary R is going to just take one action. I'm going to let God tell me what that outcome's going to look like. If we start wanting to take over God's role in our lives, that's when things become unmanageable, Tony, to give a long answer to your question. The minute we start, just think about it, and I think anyone on here can reflect on this. I'm sure you guys all have thoughts on it. But the minute I start messing around in God's work, trying to control people, right? Like, I'm not going to place a bet today through the grace of God. So I'm going to make this about the other situations, the control of other people. I want this. I want my daughter not to date this person. I want my spouse to do this for me. I want all the I want, and why isn't the world better? And why is my mother driving me crazy? And all of that stuff. The reality is I have to also become very powerless over that. And like I said, when life, if life is going to be unman serenity today, right, is turning it all over. That's serenity today. When, if you're feeling unmanageable, and God knows I do from time to time for sure. And when I do, I can usually look to those culprits of me trying to control an outcome and also fear. And we've talked a lot about that in the step study, Tony. When I'm in a place of fear, that's why we talked about fear and love today on this. If I'm in a place of fear because I'm afraid of the outcome, right? I got to do God's job. Why a fear? If I'm fearful, it's because I'm afraid something's going to happen. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my spouse. I'm going to lose my home. Something's going to happen. All of that fear is part of the dysfunction, right? And it's part of unmanageability. That's the opposite of the serenity that we seek. Does that make sense? I hope that answers your question, Tony.
It did perfectly. It has been explained better than I've heard anybody else explain it, and it makes a ton of sense to me. I was just with my therapist today, and I talked about controlling people, and that's what we're working on also, controlling people, places, and things. So thank you, Mary. I really appreciate you. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you, honey.
That was beautiful. Thank you both. And I'm going to get to that. Sam, just please patient 1 second. I'm going to get to that question that was in the chat. And let me see if I can find it again 1 second. So I have a question and comment, but can't ask online. Is Mary R going to be starting another step meeting soon? And does she have the capacity for another sponsee? Now, we were wondering what's going to happen when we get past those 12 steps. I think we're at 11 right now, going on 12. Are we going to start over again, or are we going to
I
start a new
think we need
meeting?
to talk about that as a group, how we're going to move forward. I think we need to, I'm very open to continuing our dialogue. I think it's been incredibly powerful. But what we're going to do next, I'd like to talk to the members of the step study and decide what is most important for you guys. How can we continue to grow? Do we want to go back through the steps? Do we want to take a different tack? Do we want to do some literature? How do we want to proceed? So that I know that it is my intention, and I hope yours too, Dan, to continue meeting 2 times a month. You know, how that looks and what we do, I think is up to the group to decide. So
That's a
once we
good idea.
get through 12, you know, we'll have a group conscience and talk about it.
Sounds great.
If that
Perfect.
makes sense. And then as far as sponsoring, I'm not sponsoring any additional sponsees at this time. That's why I do the step study, because it is my way to try to give back. And I say that because of the commitment I have to my family and my job. It's not possible for me. The way I sponsor is it's very intense, and it's not something that I take lightly, and I always want to give it 100%. So, you know, I can't say that now, but what I would love to do is to be of help and service to anyone that I can be, always available for a phone call and always available on that step study time that we have the 2 times a month.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for answering those two questions. And Sam from Canada, British Columbia, Canada. Sam, good to see you with us here. We have a question or comment from Mary.
Thanks for your service today, hosting and everybody co-hosting. And Mary R, I just am just flabbergasted with your share. It was just amazing. It really hit me in so many different ways. I'm really working with you know, my higher power and even my own faith. And so a lot of the things that you were referring to, I'm like, yes, you know, I can work through those. Question that I do have though is so I came into the program in August of 2023, and I have gone back out twice and gambled. And what I want to ask is, what do you do when you start having I'm not going to say an urge, but it's almost like oh, now I'm not going to be able to say it. Euphoric recall about, oh, do you remember when gambling was fun? And I get that little guy talking on my shoulder, a little devil, little angel on either side doing that. Well, remember when it was fun? You know, you can control it. So I've gone through the steps, and I'm doing another step study this year too. And you know, so I've admitted, I've accepted. But yet I have these little rollbacks where it's almost like, okay, well, I haven't accepted it yet. If I'm starting to think about this euphoric recall about, hey, maybe it'll be better next time. So I just want to know how to shut that down.
No, that's a great question, Sam. Thank you so much, by the way. I appreciate your lovely comments. I appreciate everyone's lovely comments. You know, Sam, here's the thing. Urges are part of being a compulsive gambler. So there's nothing wrong with you. You're just experiencing your illness. You're experiencing your disease. Okay. And this is what we do. We have urges, particularly when we're at the early stages of recovery. I want to go back out in the early days of recovery. I want desperately to go back out because I have given my body, my mind, my spirit, and my soul to this illness. And I have conditioned it to believe that anytime I'm in any kind of remote emotional state, even a joyous one, it's an appropriate time for me to go out and gamble. And I have conditioned myself so strongly in that regard. The good news is that after a while, you will condition yourself to not think that. But how do you do that? You know, they're still going to have urges, but we do that by doing a couple things. One, the reason we write the answer to those 20 questions is because you pick that up and you start remembering, you have to come back into reality. Also, I love the expression play it out, right? We play it out in our head. We say, okay, what's going to happen if I go to the casino today? What, you know, just take a minute before you start packing your purse. You know, what's going to happen? What will that look like? How many checks will I write? How many credit card advances will I have? How long will I need to stay? What is the probability that I will come home a better human being and more in tune with the higher power's purpose in my life if I choose to place a bet today? See, we play that out in our minds. And remember, you haven't gambled until you've crossed the threshold and are holding a device in your hands. And I say that to people because I know people who have gotten in their car and picked up the phone and called And I tell you right now, Sam, if you pick up the phone and call any member of this program, you could be literally in the parking lot of the casino. Somebody will talk you down from it. The other thing I want to share with you is that this is important. The cravings come in waves, okay? They literally come in waves. They hit you like literally like you're standing in the beach. They hit hard, up and down, and then they're gone. So you have to learn to ride that wave a little bit, which is to recognize when you're in the wave, man, this hurts like God, this is awful. I don't think I can make it, but I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to let that wave pass. This too shall pass. Oh, and then in between the cravings, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to have a cold drink. I'm going to pick up my literature. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do whatever's necessary because it will hit again. But they do come in waves. Nobody has a sustained craving. That's very, very unusual. They hit like a wave. We ride that wave. We let it come and it has its crest, and then we let it roll over us. And then it's gone, and we say, oh, thank God I didn't place a bet. I hope that helps, Sam.
Oops. You can go ahead, Sam. You can unmute now if you like. Say
I
something.
just wanted to say that's wonderful. Thank you. And to know that it's normal to have those waves that come up. And I was caught on one of those waves literally on a cruise ship. And that's where I'd gone out and gambled after hearing some gambling chatter from other people. So
And
thank
Sam,
you
you
for
will
that.
get to the point, believe me. You stick with this because you get to the point where the last thing you want to do, honestly, on a cruise ship, when you have all that other wonderful stuff to be doing, right? And the nature and the beauty of the ocean, and just even relaxing, when you get to the point where you won't have those thoughts, really, you won't. You just give yourself some time to get away from it. Give yourself some time and get into these steps. Get into these steps.
Wonderful. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you both. And is there anybody else who would like to make a comment for Mary or have a question? You can just put your virtual hand
Dan,
up.
I was going to tell, I really appreciate everyone's attention to this today. And, this is not, I, this share today, I knew was going to be super spiritual, and a lot of folks, that's not their favorite thing, or they may be uncomfortable with it at this point. And I just want to thank everybody for giving this an open willingness to listen, right? And if there's anything in it that helps, I pray to God that's the case. I pray to God that if there's anything you heard today that will help you continue in your journey, then I've done my part.
I truly believe that this is very beneficial to everybody, and I really thank you, Mary. Well, we have somebody in with their hand up over there, and it's Frank S. Frank, welcome. You're next, please.
Oh, I'm so glad to be next. Hi, everyone. My name is Frank S. I am a very grateful recovering compulsive gambler. I think today marks 5,500 and maybe 70 days. Today is the most important one, the most precious one. And thanks to this forum, this amazing share by you, Mary, there's a good likelihood I'll add one more day to the total, in about 10 hours. What an amazing share. I see always amazed, Mary, by your ability to take our program and synthesize it, condense it to simple terms that I can understand. I love, the first three steps and how you talked about them being six words, I can, he can, let him. And our program seems to be as simple as that. And your emphasis on the serenity prayer, which I believe is the crux to this whole thing. And I want your take on this because I've for years always focus on that. Acceptance is, of course, one of the most important things in our program. But the middle of the serenity prayer, that's the one that I'd like your take on it after explaining what that means to me. The courage to change the things I can. I believe, and that we all know deep in our hearts, we certainly know it for everyone else, right? Because we're the masters of managing everyone else's lives. But I know, I truly believe for myself and for most others that we really, truly know what we need to do in our lives, but that we lack the courage to carry that out. So, what's your take on that? Why do we lack that courage? What's going on? How was that for you and your observation over the years for others? Why that's such a difficult part? Because it just seems so simple. We know what we need to do, but we don't carry that out. We're told we need to get sponsors. We're told we need to work the steps. We know we've seen other people that do that, and we see how their lives have changed and flourished, but we don't carry that out. We lack that courage. How can we get that courage? And in your opinion, and why do you think that is so prevalent in this program? Thank you.
Well, first of all, Frank, I just want to say I love you and I salute you. I salute what you and Dan are doing today. And I'm not going to share your personal business, but I salute you both. And you talk about carrying the message and talk about ambassadors for the higher power. I mean, boy, you two make me cry. You both make me, I mean, literally, I have tears. Okay. God love you both. So, yeah, I mean, I think when we talk about the courage to change the things, see, one thing I know is that my supercharged, right? The thing I do get to do today is I get to watch my actions and reactions, right? And the reason, Frank, that I believe for Mary R. and maybe for people on this call, the reason we don't take more actions in our own benefit, right? To like getting a sponsor and is fear. Remember, I talked earlier about fear and love. If we come out of a place of love and the abundance of the love of the higher power, and if we've taken that third step, see, and we're willing to turn our life and will over, we have a trust with the higher power that says, I'm nervous, I'm afraid, a sponsor may make me work too hard, or they may not understand me, or maybe they're going to find out things about me that, I don't want to share, But I see, I trust a higher power today. Someone tells me in recovery, right, you need a sponsor. I'm going to listen to that. That person has time. Frank S. tells me, you need to get a sponsor. See, I've got to listen to Frank S. because Frank S. has shown me the evidence of what happens to him through recovery. He's shown me his story. I know where Frank S. was at when he started this, and I know where he is today. All that evidence tells me I need to, if Frank S. says get a sponsor, then I better damn well get a sponsor. The reality is, though, I'm probably terrified. And fear, see, fear is where we get, we run amok. We get into all that dysfunction, and our lives become very quickly unmanageable when we can't decide, what should I do? Should I do it? Shouldn't I? We don't sit back and pray, God, let me take an action. We ask people in the 90 days they come in here to take a few actions, Frank. And I think people are pretty candid about it in the meetings. We want you to come to meetings. We want you to make phone calls. We want you to read, right? And we definitely want you to get a sponsor. Those things, that's called running with the winners, right? But you got to get past any fear. And it's early on. It's hard because we haven't done a third step. We haven't done a third step. We have to act as if. And that's such a hard concept, I think, Frank, for so many people. And I know it was for me. I have to act as if. And the only way to do that is to suspend any disbelief I have and say, I'm going to listen to these old timers. I hate to say it. I'm going to listen to these people who have what I want. If they have what I want, I'm going to do what they say. And I'm going to give it enough time. I'm going to give it that 90 days. They told me they'd gladly refund my misery. And I'm going to do that. And during that time, see, I have an opportunity to start those steps. Once we're into the steps, we get to choose love over fear. We get to say, you know what? I'm going to pray and I'm going to take an action today. And no matter what happens, I'm going to take an action. No matter what happens, God's got me. God, He's got me. He's got my back. I'm good. No matter what, I'm going to pray. I'm going to take some actions. And then the outcome, God's got me. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Does that make sense, Frank? Does that help?
Absolutely. Coincidentally, if you will, during your share, I got a disturbing message, and that a situation that I'm helping a friend with, and so just exactly how what you said is I my immediate response is human and emotional and disturbance, But then the next right action is that pause, that reflection, and move towards love and God, and recognize that the fear wants to, rear its ugly head, but I need to acknowledge its presence, but then move forward and move towards love and God. And so you just summed up this so beautifully and helped me get through this moment during this very meeting. So thank you, Mary. That
Thank
was
you,
so well
Frank.
explained.
Thank you, my darling. Thank you, Frank, so much.